Good morning, everyone. Welcome. We have a few notices, some news. Finley and Georgina have a fourth grandchild, Charlotte Suzanne, born on the 8th of November, daughter to Graham and Nikki Forbes. A very important occasion this Saturday at 4 o'clock, Leslie's celebration party. Everyone's to come, please, and invite others who know Leslie. Bring some food and your dancing shoes and no presents. Buy new chairs for the church, please. We need them. Fran and Phil, another bit of news. Fran and Phil's Bevan's son, Chris, got married this weekend. Another bit of very nice news, yeah? And then it's book club on Tuesday, 7:30 at Katie Frost's. Linda would give anybody who wanted to go information. She's standing at the back there. And it's the first choir practice for the Christmas Carol service on Saturday, November the 30th, here at 10 o'clock. If anybody who doesn't regularly sing with us would like to join us, please do. What was that? Saturday, November the 30th.
Let's join together to worship God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come, let God's people celebrate God's name together. Let us acknowledge our God, who is love and who is faithfulness. We join to sing, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Thank you.
So we say, sing a new song to the Lord. God has done wonderful things. By God's own power and holy strength, God has won the victory. The Lord announced God's victory. God made God's saving power known to the nations. God kept God's promise to the people of Israel with loyalty and constant love for them. All people everywhere have seen the victory of our God. Sing for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Praise God with songs and shouts of joy. Sing praises to the Lord. Play music on the harps. Blow trumpets and horns and shout for joy to the Lord our King. Roar, sea, and every creature in you. Sing, earth, and all who live on you. Clap your hands, you rivers. You hills, sing together with joy before the Lord. Because God comes to rule the earth, God will rule the peoples of the world with justice and fairness. So we join to pray. Let us pray. Living God, we do not meet you as slaves and servants, but as free people, lifting our heads to greet you. For you are our loving parent and you are our friend. And our worship is not us trying to butter you up or get you on our side or some sort of superstitious nonsense, but is the free response of love to love. God of glory, we come to you with our hope, our joy, and also our sadness, and aware of all the things that we carry, and we know we could do things better than we do. So forgive us for those times when we haven't bothered, where kindness and grace have slipped away from us. Forgive us. So we thank you, Lord, for your extraordinary forgiveness of us. For you who are holy, perfect, are a God who loves us. Not based on our shiny Sunday morning faces, but based on your nature, which is love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you for the love that you have shown to us. And thank you, above all else, for coming in Jesus. Thank you. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Hello?
Ha, 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 ha.
Right, here I've got, you can't really see it, but I've laid it out on the communion table. I have this jigsaw. It's really good. It's got 24 pieces. It took me about 20 minutes to do half of it, which is what I've got now laid out on the table. But there are quite a few pieces missing. And I think I've hidden them around the congregation. So, oh, sorry. Maybe someone else could go with Zoom, but can we just try and find these missing pieces? So some people were given them, so if someone... No, I think some people were given them. Right, I think there might have been one over here. Oh, okay. Here's one. You've got another one? Okay, come on, Sue, help me do it. So put them in there. Oh, here we go. Here they come. The people that have stolen my jigsaw pieces. Thank you, John. Thank you. Right, so there we go. That goes there. Okay, we're looking good. I think it might go up there. That's it. Yeah, I think that's looking good. Right. There should be. Oh, John. You had another one. Yeah, that's two you had. Okay. Right, okay. I'm looking for two more by the looks of it. Ah, there's one. No, hang on a sec. I think that goes there. That one might go at the top. Okay, so there's one piece missing. No? Nobody owning up to that one piece missing? No? Do you think it looks nice as it is? It's fine as it is, isn't it? No? Do you think that looks okay as it is?
No.
Okay. I think we have got something. I just remembered. I've got it. Oh, I've got it. It's great. I've forgotten I had it. But actually, I really like it because it's got a planet on it and it's green and I like green. So I'm going to keep it. Why? Why should I? I like it. I've got it over here. It's nice. It's all cozy in my pocket. We need it. Why do we need it? It's not complete. Does it? Does it look better with it in?
Yes.
Do you think I should put it in?
Yes.
Okay. Now it looks like that. It does look like that now, I promise you. You can come and have a look at it after. So why am I doing a jigsaw? Because I like jigsaws. But it's a bit like our church community, really, isn't it? We've all got a part to play. Each of these pieces of the jigsaw had a part to play. And if one of them's missing, we're not complete. So that's what we're going to think about when we go out later. Thank you.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. So high, so low, so wide. Come on, you can. It's cold. You need to be moving. You want to be moving. I know you'll hate me. Get up. Let's sing it. We'll do it unaccompanied, Nigel, man. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round of it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful.
So
both these 1 and 2 Thessalonians insist, these letters insist, that the community should work. All the community should work, not just some, but that all should work and not depend on outsiders. And John Arnold will read this first passage to us.
This lesson is from the second letter to the Thessalonians. Our brothers and sisters, we command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to keep away from all believers who are living a lazy life and who do not follow the instructions that we gave them. You yourselves know very well that you should do just what we did. We were not lazy when we were with you. We did not accept anyone's support without paying for it. Instead, we worked and toiled. We kept working day and night so as not to be an expense to any of you. We did this not because we have no right to demand our support. We did it to be an example for you to follow. While we were with you, we used to say to you, whoever refuses to work is not allowed to eat. We say this because we hear that there are some people among you who live lazy lives and who do nothing except meddle in other people's business. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command these people and warn them to lead orderly lives and work to earn their own living. But you, brothers and sisters, must not get tired of doing good. Amen.
Amen. The second reading from the Gospel is one of Jesus' prophecies about the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the coming of the end times. It's all about the change in Jesus' ministry, from his teaching ministry as he heads towards Jerusalem. And Maggie Arnold, yes, they are married to each other, by the way, in case you didn't know, will read this passage to us.
Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. Some of the disciples were talking about the temple, how beautiful it looked with its fine stones and the gifts offered to God. Jesus said, all this you see, the time will come when not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will this be? And what will happen in order to show that the time has come for it to take place? Jesus said, be on guard. Don't be deceived. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, I am he, and the time has come. But don't follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and revolutions. Such things must happen first. But they do not mean that the end is near. He went on to say, countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack each other. There will be terrible earthquakes, famines, and plagues everywhere. There will be strange and terrifying things coming from the sky. Before all these things take place, however, you will be arrested and persecuted. You will be handed over to be tried in synagogues and to be put in prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake. This will be your chance to tell the good news. Make up your minds beforehand not to worry about how you will defend yourselves, because I will give you such words and wisdom that none of your enemies will be able to refute or contradict what you say. You will be handed over by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends, and some of you will be put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a single hair from your heads will be lost. Stand firm, and you will save yourselves. Amen.
Amen. We are people who are saved by grace. It is God who has taken the initiative with us. We are the people who have received it. The news is this: you cannot work yourself to the bone to be more loved and more valued than you already are. Each of us has received God's love as a gift. However, that does not mean that no response is needed from us. We have work to do. So as a follower of Jesus, we can expect that we will be getting into heaven, but there is a danger that many Christian people in the lives that they live a life that actually is not life in all its fullness as it could be. For too long, Christian people have been seen and defined as the no people. No sex, no homosexuality, no shopping on a Sunday, no alcohol, no laughing and no joy. Don't clap. We've been perceived as being self-obsessed, narrow-minded, obsessed with keeping things the same, the Tory party at prayer, preoccupied with our buildings, people whose vision, strangely, can be seen as being preoccupied with the earthly rather than taken up with the mystical, the exact opposite of what it should be, jumble sales rather than times of prayer. And one of the things that's in that sort of quadrant of wacky activity is those whose obsession is with the end times. The end times and knowing when the end times will happen is not our job. It is our job to know the one who knows, and it's our job to follow Jesus. That's our job. Now, this could well be part of what was going on for the people in Thessalonica. The letter says that there were people who were not pulling their weight. Why? Who were these people? Well, it could be that they were people who had in their heads that the end time was coming and coming soon. And if it's coming soon, then there's a whole world of stuff that you don't have to do. Why would you bother? It'll be all over soon. Just relax, chill. It's all going to come to an end. And it's true that for any one of us, the end might be coming really soon. We don't know. But in the meantime, there are still hungry people that need to be fed. There is still justice that needs to be advocated and injustice that needs to be challenged. There is still peace that needs to be fought for. Or maybe another strand is that there were those who were happy to join the Christian community because of what they could get out of it. So they joined the Christian community and then sat down and did nothing. If you look at the model in Acts 4, which is all about how they lived together, they shared together, they had things in common, that sounds like a marvelous organization to be a part of, especially if you're a bit of a sponger. So the words, you know, come on, you've got things to receive, but you've also got things to give. What are you going to give? You've got work to do. Or maybe it's about those who had actually made their money. They were rather among the well-off. And so they've done their work. Now's the time to rest. They've got a social position. Why would they be doing any of the humble jobs that need to be done? Maybe they would do the big cheese jobs that didn't require that much effort. But there is a call for work that requires endurance and work that requires humility. Did you notice the line in that first reading that says that if you don't work, then you don't eat? Which sounds to me like something from some sort of political manifesto. But I think that doesn't pay attention to the line that comes after it, which says, brothers and sisters, do not be weary of doing what is right. Do not be weary of doing what is right. So I want to take that on with two things, and I want to tell you two stories. And I'm a bit embarrassed about the second one, but I'll crack on with the first one and then blush through the second. So the call of Jesus Christ on each one of us is that we have work to do regardless of our age, regardless of our calls. We have work of God to do, regardless of who we are. To the end of our days, God has a work for us to do. What that work is will change at different seasons of our lives. But God has a work for us to do. When I was newly ordained, there was a member of my church who didn't gather with us on a Sunday morning because she couldn't. She was really housebound. She had a hole in the base of her spine, which meant that she couldn't get dressed, so she couldn't get out, so she was housebound. And when I used to visit her, because that's my job, that's my life, I used to walk in and she would say to you, "How are you, Leslie? Are you okay? We'd like a piece of cake." That happens. Here, I've made some cake. Here, take half of it and take it home to the girls. That doesn't happen. And she would say, what's going on for you? And then she would talk to me about the reality of her circumstance. She was a widow. She was a childless, much to her sorrow. And this had happened, something had happened to her. She'd had a terrible mess up in hospital. She'd ended up in this position. She talked to me about the reality of her situation. She didn't just cheery, happy, smiley. No, talked to me about the reality of the situation. Talked to me about what she was praying about, what she was reading. And she would also always have a collection of daft stories and jokes that she'd cut out the paper, ready for somebody who was coming to visit her to tell and to share and to encourage them on their day. And she was genuinely interested in me, and she was a pleasure to visit. And she was also a person who received from her community. That community was kept together by caring for her. Somebody came in and opened the curtains. Somebody came in and put the heating on. Somebody came in and cleaned the budgie. And I used to sneak in to visit her when I, by my schedule, should not have been visiting her, because her job was to be an encourager to those who came to see her. That was her job. She prayed for us. She was interested in us. Not in a, you know, I know how it is. I know some people say, "Oh, how are you, Leslie?" They don't give us stuff, you know, because they don't share backwards and forwards. But she did, and that was her job. To the end of our lives, God has a call on a piece of work for us to do. You never retire from being a Christian. You do not retire from being a Christian. Your job might well change because there are other responsibilities and other calls, and the things that you used to do, you cannot do anymore. And for some people, the problem is that the job that they are now being called to do, they think of as being too humble for the sort of person that they are. Brothers and sisters, somebody's got to clean the toilet. Somebody's got to make the tea. Somebody's got to be prepared to talk to people that the rest of us think are a bit of a pain in the neck. Somebody's got to be doing that. That's the call. Maybe. There's a whole range of stuff that is the call of God on you. Now, for most of you, your call of God will be out with this building. It will not be in this building. It will be about the call of God in your work, in your home, in the gym, in the school, all those places. With your neighbours. But God has a call, a piece of work for every single one of us to do. The other thing to say, second story, slightly embarrassing, is it's work. Work. It's work. It's not sitting on your backside watching Escape to the Country while eating pizza out of a box. That's not work. That's just lovely, easy. We can all do that. No. It's something that demands energy, that demands something from us. You know, you wake up in the morning and think, "Oh, blimey, Charlie." No, it's work. It's something that is not necessarily easy. It might come from your skills, but it demands something of us. We have to fight beyond our laziness to keep on going and do this thing that is God's calling on us. So on a Sunday morning, you will all know that one of the things I do, and one of the things I believe, is I'm passionately interested in the stories of all the people that are part of the life of this church. It's true, I am. And on a Sunday morning, I want to speak to everybody. I want to speak to everybody before we gather together to worship. I want to lead the worship. I want to hear people's stories. I want to ask them. I want to listen to them. And I know that there are people in our church who think of me and think, oh, Leslie Charlton, all that cheery, chatty stuff is really easy for her. I know that's what some people think. But I want to tell you, it's work. It's glorious. It's my calling. It's what the Lord requires of me. It's my passion. I love it. But it is also incredibly demanding. And I apologize if this makes me sound... That's not why I'm telling you this story. I'm telling you because work, just because something is your calling, just because you've got gifts, doesn't mean that it's not work to keep on doing it. I've been known on a Sunday morning, by the time it's Sunday afternoon, not to be able to phone my own number because I'm so exhausted. It's work. What is the work that at this season of your life the Lord requires of you? Not what it used to be. Not what it will be one day. And no. We're not saying work always is churchiness. That's not what we're saying. It's always Jesusiness. New word. Thank you very much, Leslie. It's always the work of the Spirit. But what is it at this season? Sometimes we lack creativity. We lack the imagination. We've got a narrow picture of what that work might be. Sometimes, of course, we all know what it is to feel a bit idle. We all know what that is. But God has a calling for each one of us at this season. And it's work. So let us pray. Lord, sometimes our days feel unproductive. Tasks that are repetitive and uninspiring. And sometimes it all feels so tough. We used to be able to do it, and now we can't. There are so many demands upon us. Our life seems empty. Give us the security of your love for us. And give us the confidence to let that love flow. That we would be strong in your love and your compassion, and that we would reflect your glory even in the smallest pieces of our lives. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're joined to sing, O Lord, you search me and you know me. Join to pray. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bring our prayers. We pray for the whole worldwide church and ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ, asking for the sake of your world that we would be present in it. Present with all those people that we meet, that we would live lives governed by the marks of your grace. That we, your church, would have compassion, not condescending pity, but genuine feeling for other people in their need and their distress. And as a sign of our compassion, we would be people who are able to receive kindness from others. Lord, we would be humble people. Keep us gentle, even when justice and truth demand firmness from us. Keep us away from sarcasm and cruelty. Give us patience and endurance as your people all over the world. grounded in our certainty that you will complete your purposes. And when we're tempted to unrighteous anger, when we've lost control of our temper or spoken words that we regret, let us make our apologies and then move again into the deep peace of Christ. So we pray for those places and situations that wound your heart. Pray for those who are deprived of freedom. For those who are politically oppressed. For those who lack opportunities to grow in body, mind, and spirit. And for those who know what addiction is. Pray for those who feel that their days are empty and meaningless. And for those whose paid employment is insecure. Those searching for work. Pray for those whose response to your call puts them in difficulty and in danger. Even if it's the irritation from family members of their insistence of going to church, as well as for those whose lives are at risk. For those who are in places where their sense of your call means that there are difficult political choices to be made. Those who sacrifice their own security for the sake of the security of all. Pray for those who would wish to give up. Pray for those who would wish to give up on life. Lord, it is our heartfelt prayer that you would put an end to injustice, despair, and bring all your people to the fullness of resurrection life, in which we and all creation would praise your mercy and delight in your justice. And we pray that we would know what it is and play our part. Empower us, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering. So let's pray. Lord, this money is a symbol that we confidently offer our lives to you, knowing that you will ask nothing of us that we cannot face in the strength of the risen Christ. We know and we feel how hard it is sometimes to die for faith and to live for love of neighbors in the world. Remind us that to live and die for you with Christ will be glory for us. So, trusting in your mercy and the Holy Spirit's power, we make our offering. We dare to come and to learn what demands you will make upon us in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Lord, we pray. Amen. One notice I forgot to give to Liz, my fault, me, is that next Friday we start one of our 24 hours of prayer. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday. We finish at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Okay? Come and go as the Spirit leads you. We join to sing, Lord of all hopefulness. So remaining as we are, let us pray. Lord, as we go to live and work and serve Give us determination, focus, and motivation. And when we feel weary or fed up, lift our spirits and reignite our enthusiasm. Fill us with a passion for you and the work of your kingdom this week and always. Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.